Okay, I would like to look inside the Chumash for today's. Thanks so much. We're starting with Perek Chavtes, and we're up to Pasuk Lamed Aleph.
What book?
Bereishis. Bereishis. Chavtes Lamed Aleph. Okay, everyone ready? Okay. Today we will be discussing the names given to all of Yaakov's children. And it came to those names. Okay. Everyone ready? Okay, we're up to Perek Chavtes Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Let's get started. Okay. Okay, Yaakov has been married altogether for 1 week. Leah had 1 week altogether alone with Yaakov for her Sheva Brachas. Malei Shvua Zos. And he didn't marry Rachel 7 years later. He married her 7 days later. Okay. And it says when he married Rachel, it says that Vayehav gam es Rachel mileya. What's the gam for? Vayehav es Rachel mileya.
The gam was okay.
Was me. Well, it means he loved her more than Leah? Because we're about to find out that Leah is quite hated. Uh-huh. Okay, so I will just tell you that the most of the Mefarshim go with this is that Yaakov didn't hate Leah. He sanei shalach. If he hates a woman, it's cruel to stay married to her.
Yeah, you have to give her cruelty.
For him, it's cruel for her. Right? But that she was compared to the love for Rachel, she was not loved. So not loved is, Torah, at least from her standpoint, because she names, look at the names we're about to see. All right, but that's there is a medrash that says that he did hate her because she was very sharp with him. She rebuked him. When he rebuked her about what she did to her sister, why would you step into your sister? You should have just said, over my dead body, I'm not doing this, Daddy. Right? So she said, oh, that's interesting. Why didn't you tell that to your mother? Right?
Yeah.
It's destined. Jacob has to repay the impediment to the covenant when he lied to his father.
Of course, it's destined because Veravia avot Sa'ir. But then that's also, you see, destiny is especially for us non-prophets. Destiny is as sure as anything. Because what is sure? Destiny is as sure as how the different ways that one can possibly read Veravia Avot Sa'ir. Maybe Yitzchak would disagree with her rendition of it.
But it's stronger. It's poetic justice. He cheated against his father,
right.
And therefore it's an impediment in the covenant which has to be removed.
Right, and the atonement.
If the father cheats against him in exactly the same way, namely, he violated the order of brothers, brother to brother, and he cheats against him by not letting him violate the order of younger sister to older sister.
Right.
So it's exactly poetic justice.
And it comes back to Yaakov as well with brothers who will deceive him with the code of Yosef, and the one who deceives Yaakov himself has his own property. Haker no recognize this. So it is. It's like life. It's a cycle of ironies that come back to haunt us until someone says enough. I'm going to see my grandfather cross over, and I'm going to leave it alone. If that's what my grandfather wants, Yosef doesn't want it. But Yaakov wants it. And Menashe just says, okay, enough. This book will end peacefully, and that ends. Yes.
But that, it's the God, especially in Essen, we know when Hashem called Abraham, got out of the tent, looked the sky. See, you know, destiny is a Greek, understand, but they're called goddess of destiny.
And after Avram, there are different sons.
Yeah.
But that paves the way, of course, for Shmos, for a younger brother, to continue with the trend of Bereishis and upstage the older brother. And there, the older brother is even better than Menashe. He's happy for him. He's for Rachav
v'Samach b'libah. This is two separate themes. One theme is the two impediments in the covenant, that he has cheated Jacob, that he's cheated Isaac, and that he's cheated Esau. Mm-hmm. And the overcoming of the second one is that his name is changed to Israel.
Right.
Yes. He's no longer Akov, he's Israel. Right. But the second one is, why is Joseph not the fourth patriarch and Menashe the fifth patriarch? That's the story you were saying correctly. The blessing, namely, there's no longer when Jacob made a mistake on Ephraim and Menashe, and Joseph corrects him. There's no longer any reference to who's the first son, who's the second son.
It could be that that's what the brothers feared, that it would be Avraham, everyone else, and Yitzchak, everyone else slips away. Yaakov, everyone else slips away. Yosef and everyone else that's so the brothers weren't going to stand for them. Okay. All right. So here is what's happening in Niz Pesukim. It says that Vayavod Imo Od Sheva Shnim Achiros, he's working now for Rachel, and but at least he's married to the two women at the time he's working. Right? Now, it says in the first 7 years it went by very quickly because he loved her. Mm-hmm. Right? The Chizkuni asks, usually when you're looking forward to something at the end of time, we're working to get married, the time should go slowly, not quickly. Right? It should be right when someone would have to work 7 years to get married, one might have thought that the years would trudge by slowly, not quickly. I don't know, maybe, but this foreign, the Chizkuni says something that's just certainly not pshat. That when it says, "Vayiyu kiyomim achadim ba'ahavaso osa," the osa, the object of osa, is not Rachel. It's the avodah. Yaakov had been sitting in tents his whole life, and this is his first job. So you know what he said? No, work is good. I like working. It's yigia kapecha, ashrecha betovlach.
You know. It kind of flies in the face of what he said to Laban when he confronted him.
Oh, well, it's exactly flies in the face. It means that Yaakov was the type of person who would confront adversity and just try to make it work. Right? Maybe what he describes is not the first 7 years, but the next, you know. When it was still a question of, I want him to marry my daughter, you know, he probably treated them a little better. And then afterwards, when he was entrenched and he was...
Children, you know.
So he's stuck here, then... You know, then that now I'll
get paid less.
Wages are worth a lot more when you're afraid that someone may leave. Actually, the Gemara says that a few times. Right? If a man knows that the wife has no way out of the wedding, he won't look after her so well, and vice versa. Right? You have to always know. Don't ever get into something that you can't get out of. Right. Okay. Anyway, so let's see now. The children are being named. So it says that Vayar Hashem ki snua Leah Chasuk Lamed Aleph. So when Hashem saw that Leah was hated, Vayiftach es Rachma for Rachel Akara. So God opened her womb. The Medrash says that Leah was also barren. Vayiftach et Rachma means Hashem had to open, because one can argue it's Hashem who opens up every womb. So, Vayiftach et Rachma goes on Leah here, but Rachel remained an Akara. And this is what the Kadosh Baruch Hu does. He mivakesh es nirdaf. He helps those who are less fortunate. This might explain something, a real pella at the end of this parsha, the beginning of the next parsha, where Yaakov sets up three camps to meet Esav. Mm-hmm. What are those three camps? First Bilhah and Zilpah and their children. Then afterwards Leah and her children. And afterwards Yosef. Now, considering the fact that Yaakov fears that there is death, Eim al Banim here, it seems obvious what he's doing, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, by the way, later on in Siman Tav Chaf Hei and Choshen Mishpat, categorically forbidden. Not allowed to do this. You can't say, well, this is my favorite wife, so I'll put her in the back, let the others get killed first. You can't do that. So what's he doing?
I heard that he was almost playing like a psychological game. Asaph was his whole like pretense to be mad at Yaakov was that he stole his birthright, thus he was like the least favored son. And so he was trotting out in order the least favored, like most marginalized members of his family. Mm-hmm. But Asaph would have pity on that. And he'd see himself in that.
So that is certainly a better pshat than what I'm about to tell you now. What I'm about to tell you is that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu always looks, but it's somewhat related, he always looks to help the ones most downtrodden, so the Bnei Shvachos are going to deserve Hashem's protection most. Because Hashem, B'keisha Okim es nirdaf. It's a pasuk in Koheles. Right? God always supports the one that needs it most. Right? Always, or at least in biblical times. Okay, so let's see the names. So it says, Vatar Leo Batelet Bain, Batikrosh Mo Reuven. Ki Omro, Ki Ro'o Hashem Be'oni, Ki Atoye Avani Ishi. This is written in rhyme. It's beautiful. Vatar Leo Batelet Bain, Batikrosh Mo Reuven. Ki Omro, Ki Ro'o Hashem Be'oni. Right? So, now my husband will love me. Mm-hmm. Why? Remember Rashi mentioned earlier on by Lemech's two wives. He said he had one wife for children and one wife that he loved. Mm-hmm. I mean, that Rashi. But that's obviously not what's going on here. It's that, okay, they recognize their place, their destiny. It would appear, at least the way the Medrash and Rashi chooses to cite all of them, is that these women knew very well what their destiny was. They knew how many children they were supposed to have altogether. They knew how. You know, I mean, it's.
So why we don't call them as a prophecy?
So that's a good question. Because their prophecy is just for the moment. To get the list of 48. Nevi'im and seven Nevi'ot, it has to be something for the destiny of the Jewish people. And not certainly the birth of the tribes of Israel is part of our destiny, but it's not something that's like an announced prophecy. There are Meforshim and Meseches Megillah and Dafidal that discuss the difference between Sarah on one level and Rivka and the other matriarchs on another level, because the other three are not counted. Or another two, let's say, Rachel and Leah are not counted, and Rivka, they're not counted. That August list of seven Nevi'ot. Mm-hmm. But Sarah is. Okay, so she says now that I have given birth to a child, I've put my husband is now on the map. Remember, Yaakov is no youngster here, right? If Yitzchak was 60 when he had a child, that's pretty spry compared to Yaakov's 84 when he started having children. Okay? You know, now I've at least you're on your father's level, right? Your father had one child to pass on his legacy. That's you, all right? Now you know that you at least have one, but it's not finished, right? Now she has another child. Okay, so she says when it says ki omra, she said, could have just said vatelet vatikra shmo Reuven. Ki ra'o Hashem be'oni ki ato yevani ishi. That's what I would expect to find. Mm-hmm. What is it says now? Ki omra. What is she talking to? This is Leah telling someone. So we'll see some competitive spirit between the two sisters coming up. You know, a few years from now, after Leah stops giving birth. But you see that Rachel and Leah each have one thing that any married woman wants, at least in Bereishis, when you're children. Setting out your destiny, right, is a loving marriage with a loving husband, and to give children for the next generation. Each one of these two women has only one of those two. Okay, so we discussed on many occasions here the relationship between this triangle, Yaakov and Rachel and Leah, and Elkanah, Chana, and Penina. Okay, so let's look on. So, but poor Leah, she says, "Oh, now that I gave birth to a child, now ki atoye ehovani ishi," and she's actually telling this to people. She's talking it out. Her friends, maybe her sister, her brother, maybe who knows? She's telling ki omra, right? Now it is true that ki omra does not necessarily have to be a conversation. Vayomer elokim yehi or is not a conversation that God is having with anybody, right? So could be, but then I don't know. She could have just said vatikrosh moru uvein ki ra'a Hashem be'onyi. That would have been fine. Right? Wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Right. Vatomer. Now here it's not ki amra, but vatomer. Again. Right. Look, she's going to always say this. Vatomer means that she talks these things out. She didn't just all of a sudden. A woman doesn't just give birth and come up with a name. You think of names all along the way, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us time to prepare for these things, right?
And in this case, it's the woman who gives the name.
Except one of them. Let's see which you can catch. Which one?
Binyamin.
Well, both. Binyamin. They both name, but there's one where only one a man. Yes. The man names. But usually, let's see. Usually the. I mean, what happens today? No, husband and wife talk about what's. Okay, so they didn't do that then, most definitely, because A, people did not name children after other people at that time, right? They do like the Indians do. They figure out what's happening now as this birth is taking place. It could be a passing cloud, it could be a sitting bull, it could be, you know, just look outside and see what's going on.
There's very few, people in
him,
the kids
actor,
that are positive role models.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
They didn't change the name because they have some like misspiritual experience going to the
yes.
And then he changed the name by himself.
Yeah. That there's, it's certainly within the framework of traditional commentary that someone like Gidon had a different name, and when he fulfilled Ve'es Asher Oseim, Tegadeun.
And he had a lot of names.
Look, in Assyrian and other early records, the deities also have multiple names, you know, which is at least somewhat of an answer to the documentary hypothesis, which claims every different name of God is a different author, right? Okay, but here, poor Leah, because she says, when she names her first child, that God sees my affliction, now my husband will love me. She's a very, very religious outlook, right? These girls are born Aramean. There's every reason to suspect that they worshipped Lavan's gods before.
Rachel, it could be.
Right?
Yeah.
She could be the gods.
Okay, there's a discussion in the Mepharshim what she thought she was getting with them. So if she, you know, it says that she stole them.
Yes.
The Targum is v'chasias, which means she hid them. But all right, she stole them. So for what purpose? All right, so Ibn Ezra says she knew that her father would use them to try to figure out where they went. You know, Yaakov escaped with them. So, trafim marfarat atidot, to tell you things that you need to know for the for your coming plans. So, she thought that either that means that she thought that they were efficacious, or at least that my father uses them properly, and I don't even want him to have them. He'll stay at home if he doesn't have them. Mm-hmm. If he has them, he'll use them and chase after us.
Like a child.
Yes. But what about also furthering that? Yaakov says again, in Vayishlach, like to everyone, the whole, I guess, servants, everyone who's with him, toss away all the stuff and everything.
Yeah, so there, at least Rashi says, remember, that's right after the story of Shechem.
Yeah.
Right after Shimon and Levi. And it says that, but they went on to the Chalolim, they took all the spoils.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm not sure that that's the pshat of it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Not sure, and again, I say Ibn Ezra is not quite sure of that either. He's the one most, let's say, Rashi is just going to say Chas v'Shalom that the Shiftei Ka had Avodah Zarah because of the Shiftei Ka.
Yeah.
But one thing is clear is that Yaakov was aware that they had these things. Mm-hmm. How they came to them, the text doesn't tell us.
Yeah.
Okay, so here. After the, now that she gives birth to a second child, but it says, now she says, Ki Shama Hashem. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now God hears, Ki Snua Anochi. Well, she can't say God sees that I'm hated, because she already has a name with seeing. So now, then the second name has to be a hearing name. Mm-hmm. What's the next one? Can be God smells tastes that I'm... No, just these two. There's going to be a name for seeing and a name for hearing and showing. Obviously, hear doesn't mean like you, our hearing eardrums waving. And no, it means hearing means, I hear, I understand. In other words, God has heard my prayers that I am hated. But that's very sad, because she just named a child a year ago.
Didn't help.
For now that my husband will love me. And a year later, now that I've given birth to a second one, mm-hmm. She's still quite fearful that he is mm-hmm. harboring hatred. Kisnua anochi, not kisnua hayisi. Snua hayisi would mean I used to be hated, maybe not anymore. Hopefully not anymore. But snua anochi is, it's sort of like the opposite case. If you recall, when Moshe names his two children, mm-hmm. right? So the first one is Gershom, while he's in Midian. What was this? Kiger Hoyisi Be'eretz Nachriya. Not Ger Anochi Be'eretz Nachriya. He says Kiger Hoyisi Be'eretz Nachriya, implying that I don't feel like a Ger here. They've made me feel quite at home. They've given me one of their daughters, right? I mean, Moshe, who knows, he would have stayed there, but the calling, he went for his calling. But so there's a difference in Hayisi and Anochi. Mm-hmm. Right? So she says Snu Anochi, as if she feels this moment, this day, while I'm talking now. Right? I don't see any changes. So now let's see what happens when she has a third child. Vatarod Vatelet Ben. Vatomer atoha pa'am. Now this time, oh boy, this time, yilove ishi elai. Now, Rashi, I'm not sure, Rashi is just saying the Medrash. Rashi's probably dealing with the word atoha pa'am. Right? This time. Right? I mean, pa'am itself means this time. Pa'am hazeh. But she's saying that atah pam yilave ishi elai, my husband will accompany me. Right? So why? So Rashi says, because, well, there are four of us. There's supposed to be 12 children. I've given my allotment. So apam yilave ishi, this is why he's never going to look at you again. Right? What do you mean apam yilave ishi because of that? So I would tell you that this I don't know why Rashi didn't say this parish, because it appears in Bereishis Rabbah that the reason why my husband will accompany me now is a very practical reason, because they don't have triple carriages and they only have two arms, right? They have double carriages and I have two arms for Reuven and Shimon, but when Levi, we go shopping, Levi, who's going to carry Levi? So my husband has to come also. Yeah.
There are two bronze women.
Yes, I know what you say. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's what maybe that's why Rashi didn't say it. But look what happens here. It says Hapam Yilavei Ishi Elai Ki Yoladeti Lo Shlo Peshop Anim. So now look what happens afterwards. Al Kain Kara Shmo Levi. So here Yaakov is getting in on the deal, right? Korah is Mistama Yaakov, it's not Hashem or something like that. I mean, you have a dichotomy when Yaakov and Esav are born. When Esav is born by Yitzhak, Rishon Admoni, Kuloki Adera Se'ar, Vayikra'u Shemo Esav. Very strange.
Who called them?
You know, everybody?
The maiden?
Maybe. I mean, usually a father and a mother come to an agreement about names, no?
Not always.
The father is at the Torah or at the bris. But, hopefully there's a consensus that, you know, by the time the name goes out. Right? There's actually a tshuva of the Maharshal over two people, a husband and wife, who had fathers with very, very close sounding names. One was named Meir and one was named Yair. Mm-hmm. And they had a child, and each one wanted the name. So they went to the Maharshal for a shiloh, and he said to name the child Schneer. Hence, that's how the name Schneer came about. Schneor, Meir and Yair. So the Noda Yehuda tried to learn from this tshuva that you should not name one child after two different people, which is very common in our world, right?
Yeah. He gets names.
We have lots of people to name. So why is he so sure of that? I mean, because look, the fact is they could have named the child Meir Yair, but then they'd fight over that too.
Yeah.
Whether it should be Meir Yair or Yair Meir. Right? So I don't know if that compromise is going to work. But apparently, because there's no name Schneer in the Tanakh, and there's no name Schneer in the Talmud or Midrashim. Where did it come from? Right. So okay. Anyway, so here it's he named the child Levi. Vatarod vatelid bain vatomer hapa'am. Another time, because this time she's now has, remember Rashi, more than her allotment. Hapa'am odes Hashem. Okay, I've gone well beyond my chazaka, beyond my worth, far beyond what all the other patriarchs and matriarchs have ever produced. So far, every matriarch has just given birth once. I mean, once, meaning either to twins or to Yitzchak. And here I am giving birth four times already. Yes? Okay, so that's beautiful. Our name comes from Hodah. Mm-hmm. Yehuda is from Hodah, the Jew.
Wait a minute, and it says Hapam Hilavreshi. He pronounces the name, but she tells him what to call.
Okay, yeah, he says, you know what? That's a good name. It's him saying, I agree with her. Mm-hmm. I will spend more time with her. After all that we've been through already, mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's right. I agree with this name.
So what does Orda have to Hashem mean, Robert?
Is what
the significance of Orda to Hashem?
So it's that, I assume that she may have felt thankful in the other births as well, if that's your question. And only it took her to the fourth time to consider saying thank you. The Gemara in Maseches Bracha says that no one before Leah actually gave, at least in print, gave such hodah. She just feels that there's something beyond. Look, I mean, Rashi just felt he does not. He's unequal to the task of explaining what is different this time than the other three times, right? So Rashi brings in from the Medrash that she felt I've gotten more than my share now.
Well, she got what she wanted, but the first three she gave up, maybe I'm getting that.
Right, Yaakov has two wives now, not four. He has two wives.
Right.
So
it's high. It really stretches the imagination to think that they knew that they would be giving their maidservants before it happened.
It stretches, but that's exactly what. No, you see, the more something appears in Bereishis Rabbah Meila, but when Rashi writes it down, it means that he had no other recourse to explain why she is so pleased and happy. The other Mefarshim just say something simple. Look, at some point, you know, three children is your chazaka. Now she's going beyond, so far beyond everything else that she's just giddy with thankfulness. Okay. Vatera Rachel ki lo yoldo li Yaakov. Took her this long to realize. What's happening? So it could be that when Leah starts naming a child, when she names a child Yehuda, this already touches a nerve, you know, with her sister. Maybe there was conversations that are going on where it's not just, you know, after three of them, four, you know, it's sort of like she becomes like Penina to Chana. You hear? And at this point, there's no indication of Yaakov's relative love of Rachel and Leah at this point of the marriage. Adrabah, we're about to have some harsh words between Yaakov and Rachel, right? In Shmuel Aleph, Elkanah is constantly soothing Rachel. He's loving, very loving statements with her, and Yaakov is actually, he is quite condemned by Bereishis Rabbah here. We've discussed this before. I would like to share with you a beautiful perush of the Akedas Yitzchak. You know what that is? It's a perush called Akedat Yitzchak. I spoke about him this morning just briefly in my shir on the Mikros Gedolos. Akedas Yitzchak lived a little before. He was a contemporary of Abravanel at the time of the Geirush Sfarad. Mm-hmm. His father has a perush to the Torah that Yitzchak Arama is the name of the Akedas Yitzchak, claims that was a great influence on Abravanel. Right? He makes some very harsh claims against Abravanel in his commentary that he took plagiarized a lot of the information from his father. Be it as it may, on this anger of Yaakov to Rachel, he says something very insightful. He says that when woman was created, right, Adam called her two things. He named her twice. First, he named her Isha, Kimei Ish Luka Chazos. And then afterwards, he named her Chava, Kihi Eim Kol Chai. Right? Quite an amazing perush to Targum. Maybe the Peshat in Targum is that Targum writes, the mother of all speakers. Right? She certainly had Eim Kol Chai. She's not the mother of tortoises and tigers, right? She's the mother of all speakers, right?
Speakers,
those who speak. So what's interesting is that in some psukim, it's rare, very rare form, but listen into Tehillim, it says, Laila Laila Ya Bia Omer, Laila Yechaved Da'as. Like Vadi Yosef's two tshuvas, right? Yom liyom yabia omer, v'layla l'layla yichaveh da'as. So yabia omer, so yichaveh is parallel to yabia. So yichaveh means to express. Chava is aim, call, all those who can express themselves. So, but anyway, so she is two things.
What does that mean, Chava?
So Yechaveh means to express yourself. So why didn't he call her Chaya? He called her Chava because she's the mother not of all living things, but all living speaking things. Anyway, all living speaking beings. So this is what the Akedas Yitzchak said Yaakov is telling Rachel, is that he was angry with her for seeing her total full net worth and value in our family, in terms of you giving birth to a child. You're wrong, Rachel, because Adam named his wife two names. If you're not a Chava, you're still a Nisha. And then you're wrong to say you're going to die if I don't give you children. Right? In other words, you are mistaken. Stop with this competition. It could be like he's telling her like Elkanah says. You don't have to give me children for me to love you. Right? If you gave me 10, I wouldn't love you any more than I do now. Sounds like what Elkanah said, right? So that's what he's saying. Oh, it's like a lot of things that the Akedas Yitzchak does, it is insightful, but it's drash, and it doesn't appear to be pshat here. Right? This may be the 400th time she told him this, and now it gets written in here. Right? Okay, what got him upset with her? Because Rachel, this is now 672 days in a row that you've told me this.
Nagging.
Go do something. Right? Okay.
By the way, on the other, if it's a medieval commentary, in the classification of humankind, if I remember correctly, in some of the medieval texts, human beings are called medaber, aren't they?
Oh, yes, yes, certainly, certainly. Rambam.
So, chava, as they call medaber, rather than call chai.
There might be something else going on there, because in Aramaic, a chivya is a snake, but I'm not going to go there now, but the snake talks in the beginning. Right, but here it is this Yitzchok just says that Yaakov says, listen, Rachel, you're not a chava, but you're an isha, right? And you're an isha whether you become a chava or not. Okay, all right, let's go on.
In this case, was Yaakov supposed to give preference to the women he was married with as opposed to the maidservants, or it didn't make any difference?
Well, Leah is not giving birth anymore, right? Rachel is out of sorts. If both Rachel and Leah have no children, okay. But as you'll find, you know, we're highly competitive in spirit, we are, you know, we as a people. Go back to Cain and Hevel. So it's a competition. Now Rashi says that Rachel was jealous. Mm-hmm. So Rashi, this is just a typical of Rashi. He says she was jealous of Leah's goodness. Because if she wasn't righteous, she wouldn't be giving birth to all these children. Now, is there any correlation between righteousness and fertility? No, never. No doctor is going to tell you that's true. And no one is going to tell you that's so. Some very wicked women in history have given birth, and some very righteous women have not. Yeah. So what are they saying? But this is the kind of thing that appears always in Rashi. Right? It's something I've told you 100 times. It's not Sinas Chinam that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. It's an overwhelming force of Roman might against a very weak and fractious Jewish nation that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Right? However, Sinas Chinam means that we always frame whatever happens to us in terms of morality. Mm-hmm. If I lost my hearing, it's because I heard Lashon Hara. I can really believe that. And it doesn't have anything to do with my brain waves or something else. It was a particularly egregious Lashon Hara that I shouldn't have listened to. Now, what's the effect of giving that, let's say, false narrative of why I lost my hearing, is because it's going to get me to stop speaking Lashon Hara, and that's the point. Beis HaMikdash being destroyed for Sinas Chinam is going to say, if Sinas Chinam destroyed it, Avas Chinam, we will rebuild it. And that's true. Right? And we knew that we'd outlast all those people who have enslaved us and carried us into exile.
Well, you just said Sinas Chinam, that means there's no...
Don't get me wrong. Maybe the Kodesh Baruch is going to say, okay, they don't love each other, why should I love them more? I'll let the Romans do whatever they want. And then it's sort of like what I would say, why did Yehoshua lose the second battle in Canaan? Remember, the first battle was a resounding success against Jericho, and the second battle in Ai, someone stole from the spoils of Jericho when he shouldn't have. Because when they didn't prepare properly, they said, oh, we'll just send 1 or 2,000 men, don't worry, that's all, we'll need more. They needed 30,000, 40,000 men for that campaign. So if they had sent 30,000, 40,000, 50,000, then they might have won the second battle. But the reason why they lost the second battle are the two reasons we're saying here. One, because they stole, they spoke Lashon Hara, they you know, Sinas Chinam, whatever the reason, they stole, so Hashem's protective Shechina was not with them. And when that doesn't happen, you're just given the regular exigencies of battle. It It's going to be you against I. What are the odds? What are the, you're going into their land, you better have more people than they do.
Yes.
The defense is always at an advantage.
Marshall free at least.
Right? So then you're just up to the regular rules of war, and the regular rules of war, you're going to lose.
Actively fighting against
them. Maybe even so. So the Gemara in Gittin says, well, okay, but let's get back to our situation here. Is that Yaakov reacts with harshness. Why he's harsh, what is the message? Okay, in the face of it, the simple pshat is very insensitive. Right? He says, Hatachas Elokim Anochi Asher Mana Mimeich Pri Baten. Am I the one who is keeping you from this? Right? He must have been, you know, with her as much as possible, I guess, you know. Right? So don't say it's because I'm old. I have four children, guns fine with your sister, right? Okay. So Vatomer Hine Amasi Bil Haboi Leha Vitelet Alberkai Vi Ibanegam Anochi Mimena. It looks like her intention here is like what we saw with Hagar. I will raise the child. Right? And if you recall, we talked about these laws are well represented in the ancient world. In Egypt, in Sumerian, Babylonia, of what to do when a woman is barren. She takes a loyal underling, or a handmaiden or something, and she gives it over to the husband, and she takes the child. Now, these law codes have, each one of them, a clause for what happens after the child is born if there's a falling out between the women. Now, there was such a falling out with Hagar. I don't know that there was anything resembling that here with these maidens.
Hagar, she gave her a wife.
Yes, and that too. Very different than those codes. The codes are that this woman is just like I own her and I can take her. If there's a falling out, though, and the woman is granted her freedom and sent back home to wherever she came, the child stays with the woman. With the Gvira. So Sarah doesn't. That would be cruel. Of course, at that point, Sarah doesn't need the child. She has her own at that point. But still, right?
She doesn't want the child.
It's very clear from our story that both Rachel and Leah consider these four boys to be theirs.
Mm-hmm.
They name them. Okay? There is a very interesting Vilna Gaon that wonders why when Hagar was given to Avraham, Sarah said, "Ulai ibanem imena." And here she says, "Take her vi ibanem imena." So on the face of it, the difference is obvious. At the time, Hagar was given over to Avraham. We didn't know if Avraham was the Akar or Sarah was the Akara. The biblical reader may know, but the players at the time don't know. As opposed to here, where it's pretty clear in Rachel's eyes that I'm the problem. And therefore, you, with a different woman, may lead to some more success. And at least have the joy of holding a baby that I can call mine. Okay. The Vilna Gaon says something else about that, and there's actually a practical point to the end of it, is that he says that, there's a Gemara in Menachos that says, Olam hazeh nivra behei. Ki biyah Hashem tzur olamim. Tzur olamim, yud for olam haba, hey for olam hazeh. Okay, but hey does denote femininity in the Hebrew language. Gadol, gidola, katan, kitana, right? Right?
Yes.
So he says that for that reason, women's names should have a hey in it. When you name a girl, there should be a hey. Right? Anybody here have a hey in it? Right? Or tough. It could be a hey or a tough. Right? So he goes through some of the women, who either don't give birth or the children die in their lifetime. Michal loses all of her children. Naomi loses her children. Right? So Sarai does not give birth. Sarah does.
Mm-hmm.
Avram doesn't have children. Avraham does. Right? No, Avram does have a child with Hagar. So Rivka has the least problems of anybody to give birth, like Leah, right? But you see, Rachel is the only one of all of these women who has no hay.
Yeah.
But doesn't he connect 20 gracious. Years of forbearance?
Yeah.
So, is it sorry, what?
You can have 20 years of balance because
yeah, okay. But it's all it goes to one pasuk. Yeah. You know,
but she also asked, like, when was I know
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Much in the same way,
Rachel. Yeah, yeah. But Sarah's barrenness is a whole story.
Yes.
So is Rachel's.
Yes.
Rivka and Leah's,
yes.
Not so much.
Yes.
Both their perceived barrenness lasts, in one case, half a pasuk,
mm-hmm.
In another case, one pasuk. So, by Yatar Yitzchok LaShem Lenochach Ishto Ki Yakarohi, by Yasser Lo HaShem Vatar Yivko Ishto, it's all the same pasuk. But Rochel Nebuch doesn't have a hay at all. But the woman she gives over to her husband's got two of them. So she has my hay. Zilpah also has one, but between Rachel and Bilhah, so you have two hays there, right? Okay, so it says, "Vatitain lo es Bilhah shivchasa liisha." Here also liisha, right?
Liisha maybe to
Yaakov. Yeah, because it's degrading to Zivsa. Now there is one place later on where the Torah is going to refer to her as a pilegesh, because it's just too painful to say the pasuk. Vayishkav Ruvain es Ashes of Eve. But that's what she was. Vayavino says, Espene Bilhav, Espene Zilpav, Nishe of Eve, beginning of Ayesha. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But so the Bible is sort of picky with how they're going to refer to these women. When it serves our purpose, we're going to say Pilegesh of Eve, because it's just too painful to say that he violated the Nishe of Eve. Ashes of you. Okay. All right, so we made halfway through the Shvatim. I am sorry to say that a week from tonight I will be in Israel. I'm sorry to say for the sake of the Shir. I'm going to miss the Shir, but I'll be very happy to be in Israel. The week after I will be back. So 2 weeks from tonight I will be here. It's a
shame.
Okay, everyone. Go ahead, everyone. No, yeah, we can stop with Davin now, Mariv, and you can continue eating afterwards.
See you afterwards.
Thank you, Terry.